This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
TARP Take 2.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The Treasury Secretary and Congress continue to wrangle with the fallout from the financial crisis. And the Wall Street Journal reports that Henry Paulson is teetering on asking lawmakers for the other big chunk of the $700 billion troubled asset relief program. If it happens, it reportedly could be next week. We're joined this morning by Ashley Milne-Tite in New York. Ashley, let's start off with a reminder of where the first big chunk went.
Well, $250 billion was set aside to go to the banks. $40 billion more recently was funneled over to insurer AIG. And Citigroup just got an extra $20 billion to help them stay afloat.
Well, you know what? There's this report that came out, though, that's not helping Paulson's cause, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yesterday, the Government Accountability Office came out with an investigation, or the results of an investigation, into how the Treasury was actually handling the whole program. And they came to the conclusion that Treasury hadn't really worked out how to make sure that that $250 billion in particular for the banks was actually achieving what it was meant to. And they don't seem to think that Treasury will necessarily be able to keep an eye on conflicts of interest that might pop up between the various independent contractors who have been hired to put TARP in place.
So, Ashley, where's the rest of this money going to go?
Well, Henry Paulson has made clear that he'd like more of it to go to financial institutions. But the main contingent that a lot of people would like to see get the money is consumers. And Paulson's colleague over at the FDIC, Sheila Bair, is backing a big plan to help homeowners who are behind on their mortgages. And of course, there's also pressure to funnel some of that money to the car makers.
Ashley Milne-Tite joining us from New York. Ashley, thank you.
You're welcome.
A mixed bag overseas this morning. Japanese and Hong Kong shares were up an average of 1.5%. European markets are trading lower for the most part. A rebound yesterday on Wall Street. The Dow gained more than 3%. NASDAQ and S&P shares up as well. In these troubled economic waters, the cruise industry is trying to stay afloat. They've started offering big discounts to get vacationers back on board. From the America's Desk at WLRN in Miami, Dan Gretsch reports.
The cruise industry has been hit by the recession. Advanced bookings are down. Shares have taken a beating. Carnival and Royal Caribbean have even suspended dividend payments to conserve cash. Jennifer De La Cruz is spokeswoman for Miami-based Carnival. The cruise line has slashed the price on a 7-day Caribbean cruise to $299.
A lot of times people don't necessarily sacrifice their vacation plans, but they may start trading down and looking for things more value-oriented.
Cruise lines are hoping that heavy discounts will generate money fast, and travel agents are urging bargain hunters to nail down these offers soon. The busiest booking period is typically after the new year. In Miami, I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
The guy who years ago brought us Europe on $5 a day wants to market a cheap blast off to space. Jules Klar's Lynx craft could be blasting off in 3 years if all goes as planned. The price? $95,000. The Lynx will compete with Spaceship Two, which will set you back 200 large. The question is, does that include your bags?
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, where you can choose up to 4 customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. By the Medtronic Foundation, supporting the health of people and communities through grant making, employee giving, and volunteerism. The Medtronic Foundation, on the web at medtronic.com. And by Clarkson Potter, publishers of The Splendid Table's How to Eat Supper, a holiday gift idea for people who love to eat. now available at splendidtable.org.
Reports this morning are that Ramius Capital will close four of its hedge funds worth more than $500 million. So let's talk about hedge funds, or is that hedge hog? Seems like when everything's going south on any given trading day, hedge funds are partly to blame, selling off stocks and all to meet those margin calls before the closing bell. But Steve, you ask, what are hedge funds? Time to whip out the marketplace decoder. Here's Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman.
First, the textbook answer. A hedge fund is a private partnership that pools money from wealthy individuals, pension funds, corporations, and the like, and invests it to make a profit. Because the fund is private, it doesn't have to report how much it earns or what it's holding to financial regulators. Will Swartz of SmartMoney.com has been following the hedge fund industry for over a decade. He says it used to be pretty simple to define a hedge fund.
It was a fund that held some stocks long, where you'd make money if they'd go up, and some stocks short, where you would make money if they went down.
By betting both sides of the market, the fund balanced out or hedged its risk. These days, hedge funds invest in all sorts of markets: currency, oil, precious metals, stocks, bonds, or all of the above. And Swartz says most of them use borrowed money or leverage to juice their returns.
Now, a hedge fund is basically a catch-all term for any number of investment strategies that can invest in anything from bonds, stocks, the third race at Aqueduct.
The third race at Aqueduct.
Yeah!
Well, if a hedge fund manager did walk up to the betting window with a few million bucks, he'd be looking to place a bunch of bets, all at different odds. Washington University finance professor Charles Cooney explains the goal would be to spread the risk around the whole field of horses.
So they might bet on Candy Dandy to come in fourth, Lucky Tiger to come in sixth, and some other horse is going to break its leg.
By betting on a lot of different outcomes, the hedge fund can make money off the third race no matter how it finishes. And in theory, the same goes for any market, stocks, bonds, commodities, that a hedge fund might invest in. But hedging is no guarantee of success. In really crazy markets like we're living through right now, so many bets go wrong that the fund can be exposed to huge risks. The problem's amplified by all that leverage. Just a small movement in markets can induce big losses and force managers to sell off assets at any price. And we've seen a lot of that lately at the racetrack called Wall Street. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Hope you can join us online at marketplace.org. Thanks for joining us here in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Have a great Wednesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.